Welcome to the worship from the Word here at Daleville Christian Church, that portion of the worship service dedicated to God's Word. We have an affirmation of our faith we share each time. I believe last week's was from 2 Corinthians, and this also from the same place, just a few verses earlier in chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The reading of God's word for today is from Matthew's gospel in the 6th chapter, a part of what we usually call the Sermon on the Mount, recorded both in Matthew and in Luke's gospel. Chapter 6, the first four verses. Be careful not to practice your righteousness, that is your piety, in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I announced at the beginning of this month on behalf of the spiritual support team that this October 2022 is not just Pastor Appreciation Month. This month is Ministries Appreciation Month. This is Ministers Appreciation Month. The bulletin has said for years, I am the minister to the ministers. And the ministers are all of you. This month is Ministers Appreciation Month. I hope you're making an effort to thank all those who lead our ministries and participate in the ministries of Daleville Christian Church. Today we look at a strange statement of our Lord Jesus that often gets misinterpreted, the first verse of chapter 6 of Matthew. Beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them. Notice, Jesus here is all about motivation, not the action. By all means, practice piety. But do it for God's glory, not for others to see you do it. I talked to a man once who said he didn't attend church because all the people who attended are trying to show off. Notice here that Jesus does not say it's wrong to do that. It isn't wrong to show off. It isn't wrong to show off. But showing off is its own reward. However, there will be no reward in your showing off from the Heavenly Father. Jesus will say a few verses later, if you do it to be seen by others, you already got what you wanted. And that is your reward. But there will be no reward from your Heavenly Father. But Jesus didn't say don't do it. He didn't say it was wrong. He said, you're already rewarded. Don't expect one in the future from the Heavenly Father in heaven. And when you think about giving alms, someone will benefit from your almsgiving. So by all means, give alms. Jesus is saying, it won't be the giver who benefits if the gift is done to show off. I had a person tell me once that if anyone knows the good you have done, then it doesn't count. That isn't what Jesus said. Helping an old lady across the street, I did that last year, people are going to see that at the Daleville Post Office. You can't help an old lady across the street at the Daleville Post Office without being seen. But I didn't do it so others would see it. I couldn't avoid other people seeing it. I was concerned for the woman's safety. I don't trust people who drive on Walnut Street in Daleville. By the way, since people will see you in Daleville, if you help an old lady across the street, if you did it for the old lady, the Heavenly Father will give you a reward in heaven. Jesus would say, by all means, help the old lady. Help the widow. Help the orphan. Give alms. But don't do it in order that others know you did that. What are alms anyway? Well, I'll get to that. But in the 21st century, giving so others will know that you are giving is harder now because most people do everything on their phone. These days, you can't impress people by putting a big wad of money in the offering plate. People will wonder where you got all those $1 bills. I will probably smile if I see a wad of dollars in the offering plate, but it doesn't mean I'm impressed. I'm just happy. I have a little song I sing to myself. It's a prayer. I'm sorry, Lord, that money makes me happy. I'm sorry money makes me glad. I've been hoping to grow out of that stage of my life, but now I'm 68 years old. I don't know if it's going to happen. No, you can't impress people putting a wad of money in the offering plate. I knew a man who handed me a check for $100 to buy food for the witness team food closet. He handed it to me so I could see it. He wanted me to be impressed. I was not impressed. I gave several times that to the church each month. You and I both know that $100 won't buy what it used to. As one senator said years ago, a million here, a million there, pretty soon you're talking about real money. Okay, so what are alms anyway? Alms are acts of charity. Acts of charity. In whatever form. It's also giving to the needy. The sacred duty of giving alms is outlined in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 15:11. Let me read that to you. For the poor will never cease out of the land. Good to remember that. The poor will never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, to the poor in the land. Jesus said that he had not come to remove the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus' followers are to continue just as they did before Jesus arrived on the scene, caring for the poor and destitute. Jesus' concern is for hypocrites. The word hypocrite means an actor, people who act pious when they are not, people who act loving when they are not, people who act caring when they are not, people who act generous when they are not. Jesus' argument against some of the Pharisees that they're certain to tithe the tiniest herbs from their garden, but they have forgotten the weightier matters of the law. Matthew 23:23, and Jesus lists the weightier matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Jesus doesn't want followers to play at being pious. Again, don't try to impress people with a big wad of money in the offering plate. If you want to impress me or the treasure, go right ahead. But Jesus is saying, that will be your reward. No further heavenly rewards will be forthcoming. Again, being pious isn't condemned. The emphasis here is on the word being rather than acting pious. Be pious. Don't act pious when you're not. Be pious. And it's okay to practice piety until you get the hang of it. But don't do it to please a crowd. So what's this left-hand, right-hand thing Jesus is talking about? Jesus means that our giving and acts of service should disregard ourselves and give God glory. And I believe this is in two ways. We give for the sake of the needy, not so we can pay fewer taxes. Acts of charity or mercy in forgiving a debt is for the purpose of glorifying God, not to relieve any sense of guilt. There are ways to deal with guilt before our Lord that are much more effective and helpful. We've all heard of the poor little rich kid whose parents liberally give gifts rather than be present parents in their children's lives. Liberal gift giving doesn't make you a good parent. Liberal gift giving doesn't make you a good Christian. And liberal gift giving doesn't make you a good Pharisee. That is Jesus' point. We give to those in need, and we are merciful to glorify God. What we do is for God's glory, not our own. That's why I try to make sure to tell people when I'm acting on behalf of the witness team for food or utility bills, we at Daleville Christian Church are not good people. But Jesus makes us do good things. Don't count on the goodness of my heart. Count on the goodness of God. Don't count on mercy from me. Count on God's mercy through me. That's what Jesus is, in part, talking about. The other meaning in this left-hand, right-hand thing would be in addition to what we just talked about. We want to give God glory, so don't keep too close a track of what you're doing for others. I know one pastor who interpreted the phrase tithes and offerings this way. Your tithe is your tithe, and your offering is anything above and beyond your tithe. I can't claim that's an accurate understanding of that phrase, but it helps make a point. Once you've given your tithe, don't stop giving because you already gave your tithe. You may budget a certain amount of church giving every year. If you reach that gift giving in October, Jesus is saying, don't use that as an excuse to stop giving. Jesus speaks again about this limiting our giving with another obscure example, but we won't cover that now in Mark chapter 7, verse 11. Give when you feel led by the Holy Spirit to give. Don't tell the Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit, I already gave at church. Your left and right hands shouldn't keep too close a track on what they are doing with their gifts. I guess we might understand it better if Jesus had said, don't let your wallet, let your purse know what it's doing. But this isn't just about money. It's about acts of charity. In whatever form they take. Phrases that God, our God, doesn't understand include, I've already helped enough. Or, it was a bad day on Wall Street. So, you would be saying that God's glory is limited by Wall Street. Would not God be all the more glorified if you gave liberally the day the stock market fell? Why should the poor suffer because your investments tanked? Jesus is saying that the poor should not suffer further because your faith is in Wall Street. Just don't let Wall Street know what you're doing on your own street. Wall Street would still call your merciful giving a tax dodge. But that's Wall Street. What we as Jesus followers want to do is give God glory. Tracking our own liberality and mercy does not give God glory if it limits our giving and helping and mercy. So we don't want to stop giving God glory when we think we've done enough. Now this does not discount or cut out tough love. Does not cut out or discount good money after bad. You don't want to do that. You don't want to put pearls before swine. Those are still bad moves. Tough love is sometimes limiting our giving, but it's still love. Necessary. You can still forgive chronic sinners, but that doesn't mean they don't have to pay reparations or a fine. Just don't limit God's graciousness. Jesus tells a parable of an employer who pays all the workers the same, no matter what hour they went to the field. Some of the workers who went early in the day protested, and the employer answered, Matthew 20:15, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? Don't begrudge your own generosity if you are so moved. We, like our Lord, will be generous when the Holy Spirit calls us to be so, and merciful. We, like our Lord, will be generous when the Holy Spirit calls us to be so, and merciful. How great is our God? How great is our God? Jesus concludes much of his teaching with his story, the last parable in Matthew's gospel. We often refer to it as the parable of the sheep and the goats. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will sit on his glorious throne, and he will separate the nations one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee? The sheep will ask. Or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. We don't serve our Lord in order to be recognized. We serve our Lord because it's the Jesus thing to do. Amen.